Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
He is one of the best in the business that I have great respect for and have for a long time, and that is Mark Brennan, 247 Sports. Mark, welcome back. It is so great to have you on again.
It's great to be here, Steve, and the check is in the mail for that nice comment. I appreciate it.
You earned over the years, you know that. Mark, before I get to Penn State,
yeah,
the predominant story, of course, in college football has been about Michigan, and this is really every day it seems like something new comes out. What is your read on what is happening there, or what could happen with there?
You know, I look at it from a different perspective. For people who don't realize, you know, my really sole focus is covering Penn State football. That's kind of what we do. And from my perspective, you know, I just think this is terrible for the Big Ten. I don't see this ending well for the Big Ten at all, because you have three power teams in the Big Ten, and I think you need all of them to be at the very absolute top of their game. And if this takes away from Michigan in any regard, I just think it's bad for the conference. I mean, if you're Penn State, you weren't able to beat Ohio State, you want Michigan at its very best. And, you know, I don't know what sanctions could possibly come down or what could possibly happen, but I think when you have a Big Ten that is so top-heavy, you know, you look at the college football playoff rankings that come out, and for something like this to happen to one of the big three, I just don't think is a good thing for the conference. And I know people may be saying, well, what do you care about the conference? This looks like there could be cheating involved. And that's all fine and dandy. But if you're in Penn State shoes, or if you're in Ohio State shoes, you want Michigan to be as good as they can be. So if you have an opportunity to beat them, that's going to boost you that much higher. So I know that's a little different than a lot of people may look at that. But I just think for the Big Ten, this is just an absolute terrible look. And I don't know that anything could happen by the time the Big Ten title game gets here, or by the time the college football playoff things are announced. But I just think all this distraction at Michigan isn't a good thing for the conference in general.
All right. Now, that aside, let's get to Penn State. 7-1, won the game Saturday, 33-24. Everyone concedes, obviously, not Penn State's best game. What did you see pro and con in that game?
I think pro, obviously, is the way certain people bounce back in that game. You know, I've been a little bit tough on Keandre Lambert-Smith all year. Early in the season, you know, he had some 15-yard penalties that were really uncalled for. Really early in the preseason, we saw him getting after it with somebody in practice. These are things that you expect from a leader, and he absolutely has to be a leader. So you know what I liked in that game, Steve, is he had a play where he was open down the middle of the field and dropped the ball.
Right.
And guess what? He bounced back and ends up having one of his best games and ends up making a clutch play when it matters. To me, that's the development of a player as a leader. That's a guy saying, you know what, this team is struggling, this offense is struggling, I just messed up, I'm flushing it, I'm putting that in the rearview mirror, and I'm going to step up and I'm going to make a play. And I think when we look back on Keandre Lambert-Smith's career, obviously there were some big things that happened late last season, and his performance in the Rose Bowl, you know, that was just undeniable how unbelievable that was. But I think what he did in that game, and that really stood out to me. And obviously, I think it goes without saying, listen, I've heard people say, you know, maybe it was a good thing Drew Aller threw an interception. No, it was not a good thing that Drew Aller threw an interception. That's ridiculous. I mean, who says that? But what was a good thing is the way he bounced back after throwing the interception. So you never want to see a player throw an interception. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. But the fact that he came back and played with confidence, we know how emotional that Ohio State game was for him, and understandably so. But for him to again, bounce back and play relatively well overall against Indiana, and then to make the play in the clutch, I thought was big. And then obviously, you know, with that defense, I give them a pass because they have played at an elite level all year. and everybody's going to have a little bit of a downturn. But guess what? Again, when the game was on the line, they forced a three and out. And I was down there on the field, Steve, with my daughter, Grace, who shoots for us. And after Keandre Lambert-Smith scored, I said, watch, the Penn State defense is going to force a turnover here because this is what Indiana does in these big games. And sure enough, it wasn't a turnover, but it, you know, Deni Dennis Sutton caused a fumble that went out of the end zone. And I think the fact that people stepped up when it mattered, that was my overall takeaway. The negative, Steve, and I know I'm going on here, is the rushing game. You know, I think we're eight games in, and we can no longer say that, you know, that it's some sort of aberration or something. I mean, this ground game, it kind of is what it is. And listen, I know that there for a long time this season, Penn State was leading the Big Ten in rushing offense, but you have to remember a lot of that came against Delaware and UMass. And now you look, they're in the Big Ten, and to be unable to generate the kind of rushing game that I thought we all figured Penn State was going to be able to have, that to me is an alarm. That is something that I'm surprised they haven't been able to pull off. And, you know, the one stat that really jumps out at me is, you know, I think Catron Allen's fine because he is what he is, a power back who's going to blow through people and do what he does. But Nick Singleton, the inability of him to pop the big plays, and I don't think it's all on Nick. I think it's the offensive line. I think it's the tight ends and receivers blocking. But, you know, you look in conference play only, and he's down to 3.6 yards per carry. And we're in a healthy sample size of the season to date. So all of that, that's kind of what jumped out at me from a negative perspective.
What then are you seeing in that part of it between the backs, the offensive line, the tight ends? What are you seeing there as to what may not be clicking?
I don't think the offensive line is playing with the nasty streak that a lot of us thought, especially when it comes to the running game. And I also think especially, you know, I'm not good enough, and I'll just say this straight out, because I don't have the game tape and I'm not able to look at things to know exactly how well the tight ends and receivers are blocking. But it just doesn't seem like it is, you know, just based on production, it doesn't seem what it's been at the last couple of years. And then, you know, we know how good Brent Strange was in that regard.
Sure.
But also with Nick, it's just like, listen, he didn't become unexplosive overnight. And I just, I go back to the kick return in that game last week. And he kind of tripped over the kicker. And it's like there's just something that's just not there. He's been this close on how many of those? But we've been saying that since the beginning of the year, right? So whether it's a kick return or whether it's a run where he just doesn't get around one guy. So I think it's a group effort. I mean, I know that's kind of a cop-out, but I think it would be unfair to lump it all on one area. I think if your running game isn't doing what it needs to do, I think you have to look at everybody. And I think, more importantly, I think everybody has to take a look at themselves. And knowing Jawan Sider and the way he coaches, I have a hell of a lot of respect for him. He has the bona fides. He's put the backs in the NFL. He knows what he's doing. So let's see if he can get this turned around in the last four games, because I think for Penn State to have an opportunity in the upcoming game, I know that Penn State has to take them one at a time, but I don't. And I know that there's a game on the horizon where they're going to need the rushing game to be better than it's been. And it's not this week. It's going to be in a couple weeks. And let's see if they can get it turned around.
What have you seen now through eight starts in the development of Drew Aller?
I think the going back to what we said before, coming out of that, well, first let me say one thing. The way that he's conducted himself with the media, and I know people may say, oh, who cares the way he conducts himself with the media? No, when you're a quarterback, that's an important thing. And he has come out after every game and not taken credit himself, talked about his teammates, said all the right things. That's important. And then he came out after that Ohio State game, Steve, and I'm guessing he didn't want to come out. And he was emotional. He was emotional on the sideline, and he knew he was going to break down. And you know what? That kid sat up there and took our questions. And even when he was crying, I cannot tell you how much respect I have for him. That is what a leader does. okay? You and I have covered Penn State football long enough, and we know that the vast majority of these guys, it's not when they win when they have to come out and show what they're all about after the game. It's after a loss. And the best leaders, the Jahan Dotsons, the Michael Robinsons, I'm just pulling names out. Don't think I'm leaving anybody out. But these are sure. guys who really stood out to me that when it was absolutely the Sean Lees, I mean, when it was the most difficult time when they lost games, they came out and they faced the media, and I think that was big for Aller. With respect to where he is in his development as a quarterback, I don't think you can look past the fact that he has however many touchdowns it is now and one interception.
Right.
I mean, he has done what they have asked him to do, and that's not make the giant mistake outside of one. And if you were to tell me that through eight games he was going to have one interception, so now I wonder if, again, he's gotten to this point, now do they let him go a little bit? You know, now do they allow him to take a few more chances here and there? I'm not going to question what they've done in his development to this point, because it's gotten him to 7-1, and I don't know what he could have done different to win that Ohio State game. You know, I think that was, again, a collective effort. So I think he's where he needs to be, and I'm looking forward to seeing in this last third of the season what Mike Yurcich and James Franklin allow him to do.
Obviously, there was one big mistake in the Indiana game defensively, and that, of course, was the miscommunication. Overall, what are you seeing with this defense that gives them a shot in every game?
Well, I think it's the depth, right? I mean, even though they haven't gone super deep the last couple of weeks, I mean, we've started to see, you know, who Manny Diaz's go-to guys are. But I just think his creativity, Steve, you know, knowing how good their DBs are and knowing what he can do in that Prowler package and knowing how good his defensive ends are when Chop is there and how to utilize all three of them, and going deeper on the at defensive tackle. I think they're much better defensive tackle this year than they were last year. I just think all of those things. I would think the thing that I'm kind of waiting for is for Abdul Carter to maybe have that breakout game. He's played well, and I think we have to be real careful when we start looking at stats with this defense, because we know how little some of the starters played. Right. Through the first half of the season. So, but having said that, I think we know what Abdul Carter's about in the ability to make splash plays and to go kind of sideline to sideline. And I almost think there have been times this year where it looks like he's been in cruise control, and I think he can amp it up another level. And I'm not trying to be critical of him because he's a young guy. He's only in his second year in the program, and, you know, I think he would be the first to admit that he has a lot to learn, but he's got a really high ceiling. He has a really, really high ceiling. He's big. He's fast. He's aggressive. He's mean. He's tough. But I think he can flash just a little bit more. So that's one of the things that I'm looking at. But with Manny Diaz, I mean, his creativity and the way that he's able to use his depth, I've really been impressed by.
What have you seen in the special teams as the season's progressed?
Well, I think just the... You know, I think you hit the midway point of the season, I think more specifically the bye week, and you were really wondering about the special teams. And now all of a sudden, I mean, Stacey Collins, I don't know what they did during that bye week, but, you know, the last couple of weeks they have really turned it around and just been, you know, terrific. I mean, obviously Daquan Hardy, and I completely get what James Franklin's saying. It's like, you know, why did it take this long to get him out there? Well, they've had some guys who have done a fairly good job. But, you know, his ability has been unbelievable. I think Riley Thompson, I mean, he's just been terrific. I mean, he stepped up. His best game, in my view, was when they needed him the most, was in that Ohio State game. You get into a field position game, and that guy does it on the big stage. I mean, that was like, that was really impressive. And then Falcons, I mean, you know, early in the season, you didn't know what you were going to get out of their place kicker unit, and they kind of struggled. And, you know, you know, would you prefer he makes 250 yarders? Great. But I think when you're kicking from that distance, he goes, he makes big field goals out at Ohio State, and then he goes 1-2 from 50 plus against Indiana. So you have to like that. So I think that was an area that was trending negatively until they got to the bye week, and give Stacey Collins a lot of credit. You know, they kept grinding and kept getting after. And I think the other thing, Steve, I would say is their coverage teams, although that isn't really a surprise because I think we know how athletic this team is. Yeah. And, you know, the job that Gabe Wosu is able to do on kickoffs, you know, just blasting them down there. The coverage teams hasn't been a surprise at all, but I think the way that the place kicker and punter have really stepped up the last couple weeks, and that's going to be important as the season winds down. That was an area where I thought that was a negative for them, again, going into the bye, and I think it's turned into a positive pretty quickly.
Your viewpoint on the game with Maryland this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's the one team outside of Ohio State that I think has the sort of athleticism at the skill positions that could give Penn State trouble. Mm-hmm. But I also know that Tagovailoa is the quarterback. You would know the numbers better than I do, but I think Penn State sacked him 10 times in the last two games. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're able to get to him, they're going to have trouble scoring enough points. And I look at a Maryland team that just gave up, 30-plus to Northwestern? I mean, 33 to Northwestern. So whatever we've been seeing out of the Penn State offense, hey, typically when they're not playing Ohio State, they've been able to put up 30 points. And I see Penn State scoring, you know, right in that 30 area, and I'm not sure that I see Maryland being able to put up that many points. It's really weird what happened to this team at the end of October and into early November. But that's an instance where, you know, they go out to Ohio State, are looking really good, and then get ultimately blown out in the third and fourth quarter. And then you lose at home to Illinois and you lose on the rope to Northwestern. We've seen both of those teams. We saw what Penn State was able to do against both of those teams. And I just wonder that even with the athletic ability there, we've seen this team come apart in November, and it looks like it's happening again. So I think Penn State's going to be in pretty good shape this week.
Mark, very quickly, basketball. I know it starts on Monday. Any quick thoughts on that before Penn State gets rolling?
Yeah, I mean, people, just be ready for Ace Baldwin. I mean, I was not out at that game, but just seeing him and the little we've seen him in practice and that game, I mean, this guy, he is, like, unflappable. I mean, he is just, he's not going to beat you with three-point shots, but, you know, I was watching the one drill in practice, Steven. I'm sure you've been there more than I have, but they have the guards going up, driving on the big men. And he is just, like, completely unfazed. I mean, he goes into traffic and can use his body, and he's so cool and calm and collected. And the other thing I would say is that I'm anxious to see how this all comes together, but yeah, really impressed by their overall length. And that's just not the big guys. I mean, that's Kern. They just have Dunn. I mean, they have guys who have, like, longer arms and kind of spidery, and I mean that in a positive way. So I'm anxious to see what they do. And I think they're going to be more athletic, obviously, than we've seen. But the key is going to be with all those disparate parts that they're bringing from different areas, how do you bring them together? And again, that's where I think Ace is going to be a key, because he's kind of, you know, he played under Mike Rhodes, obviously, for people who don't know, at VCU, Big Ten or A-10 Player of the Year. He's able to be kind of that conduit from the coaching staff and Nick Kern as well. And so I think that's going to be really help. But I'm just telling people that when you get a chance, Ace Baldwin is fun to watch on both ends of the floor. Just a cool customer, and he's going to be a really nice player for him this year.
Yeah, both ends. You're absolutely right. Got that nice lefty jumper, too. So, hey.
Yeah.
Mark, thanks so much. Always appreciate the time you give us.
I appreciate it, too, Steve. Always have fun talking football and hoops with you. Thank you.
Mark Brennan, 247 Sports.